Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date happens to be May 29th, 2014. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. An emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886, or you can do like a lot of people do. They'll email me with their telephone number and tell me, they need a prayer or what the problem is. And because email is always there, it's something that's 99. When I'm awake, it's usually always in front of me. Let's say it that way. Anyway, you can find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, as well as our email address, at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. And remember, if you're one of the 15% of the people that do not use the Internet, at least that's the number I'm told, then you're welcome to call me with questions about the radio program or just about anything you like. Just be, well, nice about it, okay? All right, not today. But for the record, I have not yet got a bad phone call. Not yet. And I've been doing this radio program right here for, well, we won't go say how long. That might even say how old I am. Oh, well, let's go on with this. Anyway, let's have a prayer and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. I pray that you don't let anything interfere with the program and that you, again, what comes out, comes out by you and that you give people ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight I bring back on with us Lori Cardoza Moore, president and producer of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, Incorporated. She's been on with us before speaking on a number of different subjects, and you can find all those in our radio program archives. Back, folks, there's radio program archives that go back to when I first started doing this radio program. Anyway, Lori is the founder and president of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, an organization whose mission is to educate Christians to stand with their Jewish brethren and defend the state of Israel against the rise in the new anti-Semitism. She serves as a special envoy to the United Nations, as appointed by the World Council of Independent Christian Churches, to oversee the interests of Israel at the United Nations in New York. She has become a major voice for Israel with the national media, including Fox News Channel. To date, PJTN documentaries such as Emmy Award-winning Forgotten People, released in 2009, which chronicled the Holocaust, and the newest release, Israel Indivisible, I guess, have reached more than 200 countries worldwide. Anyway, folks, in the archives tonight will be the program I just did with Anita Dickman, and she's a Holocaust survivor. She's a blood Jew, and she is a Christian. And so that was a real interesting program, especially seeing how I cried about every 5 minutes or so because of her story. Anyway, but tonight's about Lori. Are you there with me, Lori?
I am, Pastor Dan. Thank you so much for having me back on your program.
Well, hey, man, I'm glad to have you back. Have you ever run across Anita Dickman? She's 87. Have you ever come across her story?
I actually was, it's just come across my my desk here recently over the last couple of months. And, in fact, my publicist is working on connecting the two of us because she, I hear she has a phenomenal story. And these stories are so important to be told, Pastor Dan, because we are losing our Holocaust survivors. And that not only are we losing our Holocaust survivors, but we're losing the truth. We're not sharing the truth about what happened in Nazi Germany, what happened to these precious people accurately in our schools. And so we are educating children to question, like what we saw out in Rialta, California, giving students assignments that are Common Core assignments to make an argument whether the Holocaust actually took place. And it's just, it's ludicrous that we even find ourselves in this place in the United States of America. It's appalling. But her story is important, as well as all the Holocaust survivors, those who are still with us and those who have passed on. There have been many different organizations who have documented their stories on film. Many of them have written books about their experience in the Holocaust. And it's important that we tell and retell this story throughout the generations.
Absolutely. A couple of things that you struck on. Number one, yes, I agree. We need to tell all the Holocaust survivor stories. But you hit something. Actually, that's what drew me to ask you on for tonight. But I also want to go into this new film of yours. But I thought we'd go into this first because you mentioned Common Core. I've been trying to find somebody to explain exactly what is Common Core. Explain that to the audience.
Well, I will tell you what Common Core is, and then I'll tell you what the media tells you what Common Core is. The truth about Common Core came out of a document called the Moscow Declaration. Now, it wasn't called Common Core, but the standards and the application were documented there. And you have Bill and Melinda Gates, the Gates Foundation, who got behind this initiative and brought it to the G8 summit in Russia in 2006. So this has been around for some time. This is not just a brand new, agenda that just, appeared on the horizon. This has been, they've been working at this for a long time because the goal is to globalize. It's globalization. In fact, you mentioned when you introduced me as a special envoy at the United Nations, I just filled out last night a survey by the UN that they give to their NGOs periodically, and the survey was about globalization and what my opinion was about it. So, of course, and they gave me space to even add my comments. So, I just want your audience to understand that this is all part of the globalization of the world. It's to get our students, particularly when it comes to Common Core and our textbooks, it's to get our children around the world on the same page. And when you have corporations like Pearson Publishers, who, Pastor Dan, you probably remember, using a Pearson published textbook going through high school. Most of us did. In fact, 60% of Pearson sales are generated here in the United States of America. But you have a company like Pearson Publishers whose mission statement falls right in line with that globalization agenda. The mission statement says that their agenda or their mission is to change the way America thinks. Now, this is Pearson Publishers, who is also behind the whole testing, PARC testing, with regards to Common Core. Pearson Publishing is based out of Great Britain, not even a U.S.-based company. And so you have an international company or a British-based company whose mission is to change the way America thinks. It's not to change the way the Saudis think or change the way the Palestinians think. No, it's targeting the United States of America. It's targeting our children. Right. So basically, you're looking at Common Core that is part of this globalization process. Now, that's the truth behind Common Core. But what the media and what our teachers are telling us is, oh, no, these are a set of standards. We all want our children to aspire to higher standards in education, don't we? Well, not when those standards or the organization, the company that is going to be testing our children, not when they have a mission statement that is to change the way the U.S. thinks or the way America thinks by getting to our children. So we have to be extremely careful about this. And, you know, this is the summer months. You know, most schools are out. We are here in Tennessee. And this is the time when parents, when our schedules are not as hectic, when parents need to do some research, do some homework, speak with their school board members, speak with their teachers, the administration where your children go to school, find out what textbooks are being used. Because here in Tennessee, specifically in Williamson County, Pastor Dan, you may have heard, because we did make national news, Fox right. and Friends ran a story for several weeks on what was happening here in Williamson County. But what happened is that a parent who's a member of our organization, her son came home from school asking, and this was November 29th, which is an important date to remember. This was 2012. But her son came home from school and asked his mother, who does the land of Israel really belong to, Mom? And she said, well, you know who the land of Israel belongs to. What does the Bible say? He says, no, Mom, I know what the Bible says. He says, but tell me the truth. Who really has rights to that land? And that got the mother stirred, because she knew that something had transpired that day. So she started questioning him. Of course, November 29th is what the Palestinians call Nakba Day, but in accurate history, it's the day that the United Nations voted to partition the land of Israel and give the Jewish people their homeland, help them go back to their ancient homeland. And, of course, the teacher of the student decided she was going to have a guest speaker come to school that day and talk about, you know, those Israelis and, you know, and look at all the problems that they created and talk about the poor Palestinians and their plight against the Israelis. So as the mother did more research, she got a hold of the textbook that was being used in the class, and she contacted me because she found a quote in the textbook that basically legitimized, and this is what they were studying that day, that legitimized killing Israeli teenagers in a Jerusalem restaurant because the Palestinians are waging a war against Israeli government policies and army actions. And, of course, the mother immediately contacted me to let me know what was being taught to our children, and that's what launched the initiative to start exposing the textbooks. Well, as I started doing more and more research on Pearson Publishers and then tying it into this Common Core initiative and finding out how deeply entrenched Pearson is, they have a monopoly on our children's education, and it's not just here in Tennessee. A lot of people thought, oh, well, that's just Williamson County. No, it's actually across the state and around the nation. In fact, we are finding other states who are coming online, too, like the state of Florida. They are having a major problem with Pearson published curriculum. The state of Massachusetts, specifically in Boston, they're running into the same problem. Texas, I mean, more and more parents, and as we saw what happened in California, this is not just a you know, one state's issue. This is a national issue. It's a national problem, Pastor Dan, and if we do not teach our children an accurate perspective of history and give them the accurate facts of what has happened in history. And if we continue to give our children textbooks that are not just anti-Semitic but anti-Judeo-Christian, they're pro-Islam, they are anti-capitalism, pro-Marxism, pro-communism. It's shocking what our children are learning. If in fact, here in Tennessee, we were able to mobilize parents last summer across the state to review textbooks because last year happened to be the year that Tennessee was adopting social studies, geography, and history textbooks. So we were able to mobilize parents to review the 95 textbooks that were submitted by Pearson Publishers and other publishing companies. Mm-hmm. And of all those 95 textbooks, we were able to compile over 500 pages of inaccuracies and biases in our children's history textbooks. So it's no surprise now that because, and this, like I said, it's just happened. This one textbook that we exposed, the Pearson textbook, has actually been used in Tennessee schools for the last 6 years. So you have children for 6 years that are being indoctrinated with inaccurate information. And unfortunately, the Tennessee Textbook Commission this last November voted to adopt all those 95 textbooks, with the exception of one, adopt all of them to be used in Tennessee schools. So, and are these kids going to, are the teachers going to correct the inaccuracies? Do the teachers even know the inaccuracies in the textbooks from a historical perspective? Because keep in mind, these teachers are being educated in universities, leftist universities, who agree with the narrative that is being peddled to our children in the textbooks. So they think that all of these parents that are, you know, my age and older, you know, 50 and up, or, you know, even 40 and up, because we do remember history, we know what's happened accurately from an accurate perspective. We were raised reading textbooks talking about how communism was bad, and we would even send our soldiers to war to stop the onslaught of communism. But nowadays, that's not what children are learning in their textbooks. Now, you know, communism isn't such a bad thing. You know, there are other countries who are communists, and they're not so bad. But see, it's that slow indoctrination watering down our children to the point where our kids are growing up and they don't have the same perspective. And here in Tennessee, you know, you have 6 years of inaccurate biased textbooks, and you vote to approve another series of textbooks that will be used for another 6 years. You have kids first through 12th grade who've just gone through their whole education being indoctrinated with inaccurate information. And it's no wonder.
Let me pipe in a moment, folks. Now, absolutely, what you're saying is absolutely true. And this goes out to the parents for a moment. You need now. Listen, my wife and I are extremely busy, and so we didn't have, like a lot of you, we didn't have the time to be able to homeschool my 13-year-old this year, though. But what I did is, Lori, is I've got a, right here in my hand, in fact, I've got his social studies book, and the teacher allows me, I approve every lesson before he gets it. Otherwise, if it's something I don't like, then I give her the facts, and she will even, she'll look them up or whatever, and she may comment on them, or she'll exempt my son out of it. But I have a teacher that is willing to work with me. She's probably in her middle 40s, you know what I'm saying? So she knows some of the truth, and she's extremely worried. She is extremely worried about a Muslim influence on her education. But that's what I do. But you can get another textbook and go through it with your children. Go through it. See what they're learning. Don't just go ho-hum and let them go off to school, because you're going to wake up someday and into a different world. Back to you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so important that we do look at these kids' textbooks. You're fortunate to have that situation with your teacher where you're able to work with her and she's willing to work with you. But in a lot of cases, these parents are marginalized and they're ridiculed by the establishment. We had one parent that raised some issues about a textbook here in Williamson County. I was just made aware that there were over 30,000 emails going back and forth amongst the educators and the administration about this one particular person, because she was raising some concerns about some of the things that were being taught. So it really requires, Pastor Dan, for us to walk out our faith, to actually take back control of this country. We cannot say that we're too busy. You know, I'm as busy as anybody else, and even sometimes more so with, you know, running this international organization and also being involved with the United Nations. But we have, if we want to, God willing, save this country and restore our and protect our children, we are going to have to get engaged in the battle. And, you know, absolutely. Pastor Dan, not everybody is called to suit up and go to war or join the military. But this is our battle. We can pull out our children's textbooks. Now is the time to do it, to go to your kid's high school or middle school or elementary school and ask them, you know, let me look at the social studies textbook. Let me look at your review, the history textbooks. And just turn, for example, to the sections that deal with Middle East studies.
Lori, let me break in, because we got to go to break in about 30 seconds. Why don't you let me have your website real quick for the people, and then we'll go to break.
Absolutely. They can go to pjtn.org.
That's pjtn.org, folks. And, of course, if you listen to this or listen to it later in the podcast, wherever you find us, there will be a link when you get the program description to her website. There will be a link on the prophecyhour.com website. And in the meantime, we're live, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be your own doctor for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887 or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org. To order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License, Be Your Own Doctor, for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling, or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Why do so many people come to us for help? Why do they come to such a little place? Well, first is because they're treated as family. And second and beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs, so to speak. People just walk in the door and ask, and if we have what they need, then we try to fulfill that need. If we don't, we try and pray it in for them, find a resource, but we are there for the people. We don't treat them like an agency, and, you know, we treat them like human beings. And it isn't just the homeless that come in. By far, we get a lot of poor people that come in looking for services and things, people that don't want to completely rely on the government. They come in talking to us about things, come looking for clothing, Bibles, prayers, you name it, they're there for it. Anyway, this is why all the agencies tell the people about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when their guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. Folks, we're all responsible for one another, so we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. And the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find this information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And now we're back with Lori Cardoza-Moore. And I seem to be losing my voice. Are you there with us, Lori?
I'm here.
I think I'm losing my voice for some reason. Anyway, when I went to your website, originally I brought you on because I wanted to talk about Common Core. I wanted people to understand it. But then when I went to the website, in fact, I went over there today, and I watched this incredible trailer for this new, I guess we would call it movie, right, that you have out.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
This movie, you know, I haven't seen it yet. I need to get a copy. But, you know, this movie well, it goes right to the heart of the problem that you were speaking of earlier. Where, about Israel, do they have a right to the land? Take us into this.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. You know, the film Israel Indivisible, The Case for the Ancient Homeland, and Pastor Dan, I'll be happy to send you a copy of the documentary. If you'll just email me the address you'd like for me to mail it to. Excuse me. But the film is really a project that's 11 years in the making. And one of the first films that I wanted to do back in 2003 was at that time called The Disputed Territories. And when I first came to this revelation, when the Lord opened my eyes up to Israel and to the Jewish people and understanding the text of Scripture and realizing that God was not done with his people. You know, I was raised Catholic, and, of course, after leaving the Catholic Church, my husband and I and our family worshiping in the Protestant church, but I went from believing that the Jews were the Jesus killers, and then in the Protestant church being taught that the church replaced Israel because they rejected the Messiah. And so, you know, as I started to study the scriptures, and I saw that, as Paul had talked about in Romans 11, that God's gifts and calling to Israel were irrevocable. He even said that there was a warning to the branches that were grafted in not to become arrogant in their newfound faith. So those things kind of stood out for me. In fact, it was Romans chapters 9 through 11 that were the eye-opener for me, and that eye-opener happened 6 months after 9/11. But
wow.
Once I started to understand what was happening, I understood that the enemy that hit us on 9/11 was the same enemy that had been attacking Israel throughout the centuries. And I knew that because I had been studying the Bible for 11 years at this time. And I started in the book of Genesis. I went all the way through, you know, studied about the Amalekites, studied about the Edomites. And so when 9/11 happened, all of those years of study all came together for me, and I got it. And so so I had contacted the Israeli consulate in the southeast and asked them to send me all the information that they had on making their argument to the media, because, of course, my husband and I had been involved in media, as you had mentioned earlier. We've got over 500 music videos to our name. My husband is a two-time Emmy Award-winning director. We've done a lot of films in the Christian world. But the Lord said, I want you to turn your focus to Israel now. And so as I compiled information that the Israeli government published about Israel's rights to the land, because it was evident in the text of Scripture that God made a covenant with Abraham and his descendants, and that covenant stands today. And
absolutely.
So I wanted to see what the Israeli government was publishing to make their argument. And there was this publication called The Disputed Territories. And that publication, published by the Israeli government, was the best argument I had ever read about that. And they made the argument about the historical, archaeological, legal, and biblical evidence to prove that Israel has rights to the land. So that was kind of when it all started, but we didn't get the funding until 9 years later. And so we started the process. We went to Israel. We filmed interviews with people in Israel, of course, here in the United States as well. And we wanted to show that story. So the film is broken up in pretty much four quadrants where we're dealing with those issues, the archaeological evidence. And it's amazing, Pastor Dan, and I don't know if you've been to Israel or even your audience, but when you go to Israel and you see the digs that in places mm-hmm. all over the country, I mean, whether it's in Beersheba or whether it's up on the Golan Heights or even in Jerusalem, and you see the archaeological digs, you see the evidence that has been unearthed to prove that the Jewish people have been in that land all this time, that this is their ancient homeland. You just can't argue with it. In fact, one of the interesting things that we found out in our research was even the Smithsonian, when we were dealing with the historical aspects, we showed the archaeological evidence, but when we were doing the historical aspect of the film, when we were going through history and documenting it, even the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., states that the Bible is the best authority when it comes to history. It's even better than some of the documentation that they have out there, that it's the most accurate. So we even have the Bible, the narrative that is communicated in the scriptures are actually accurate accounts. And even
right.
the Smithsonian Institute affirms that. And then when you have the archaeological digs to back that up, you cannot argue with this. Then, of course, we go into the biblical evidence to prove Israel's rights to the land. And it's amazing because history and archaeology bear out that biblical evidence. But the thing that I found the most profound for me was when we started digging into the legal evidence, into international law.
Right.
And that's what really just, I just thought, you know, this information is never talked about. But it's amazing because I don't know if you have heard of San Remo Resolution that was passed in 1920. But apparently, there's a quote in this resolution that is so critically important for us to hear, and it needs to be repeated and repeated and repeated. And the people that we interviewed in this film, some of the experts talk about this, but this is a quote from the San Remo resolution. This was the Supreme Council of San Remo that came together. They convened for the purpose of dividing the Ottoman Empire and redrawing the borders of the Middle East and giving the land to its original inhabitants. But this is a quote from it. It says, the high contracting parties agree to entrust the administration of Palestine within such boundaries as may be determined by the principal allied powers to a mandatory authority that will be responsible for putting into effect the Balfour Declaration in favor of the establishment of Palestine in a national home for the Jewish people. So we have San Remo in 1922 that stated that, or 1920. Then in 1922, we had the mandate for Palestine that was brought about by the League of Nations. It was a resolution that created the Palestine mandate. And that included a clause that stated, and I quote, whereas recognition has thereby been given to the historical connection of the Jewish people with Palestine and to the grounds for reconstituting their national home in that country. That is, we never hear about the mandate for Palestine. Then there's the Anglo-American in 1924, the Anglo-American Convention on Palestine. And that was the United States of America and the British government that ratified that treaty. And it included a reference from the Balfour Declaration. And here's a quote from the 1924 Anglo-American Convention. It says, whereas the principal allied powers have also agreed that the mandatory should be responsible for putting into effect the declaration originally made on the 2nd of November 1917 by the government of His Britannic Majesty and adopted by the said powers in favor of the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people. Here is another example. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So the United States of America is legally bound to these principles contained in the Balfour Declaration and the mandate for Palestine even to this day.
Right.
In fact, what's interesting, in November 2009, the Office for Israeli Constitutional Law, which is an NGO or a non-governmental legal action organization, sent a letter to U.S. Secretary of State at the time, Hillary Clinton, warning that by labeling Jewish settlements in the West Bank as illegal, that she was violating international law as well as American law. I mean, there is documentation. There's another, the Lodgefish resolution, where both houses of Congress passed this resolution identically, and the president signed it into law. So under American law, whenever you have a joint resolution, Pastor Dan, it has passed both houses in identical form, and then it's signed by the president, it becomes the law of the United States of America. So you have to ask yourself, if we have all this international law, all these treaties, all these resolutions documenting that are still in effect today, nobody has changed those laws. Nobody's come in and amended those laws. If those are still in effect today, why do we not hear this being spoken in Congress? Why do we allow every president from actually George H. Bush to continue to push for a two-state solution when they are violating our own federal laws that are on our own books. And I would suggest to you it's because people, the American people, do not know this. And, you know, Pastor Dan, we are warned in the Bible, and God told Abraham in Genesis 12:3, and I know you know this verse better than I do, but he told Abraham that he would bless those who bless him, and he would curse those who cursed him. This is the nation, the people, Israel. And absolutely, all the nations of the world would be blessed through Abraham and his descendants. And here we have a national blessing, a blessing for a nation. And we have a Judeo-Christian nation that continues to elect leaders that implement policies that fly in the face of God's word. And we're a Christian nation, Pastor Dan. Well, yeah, we used to be.
Let me butt in, you know, for a second. Number one, you said a lot there when you said, well, or we used to be. You know, the thought pattern is, I thought we were a Christian nation. Maybe we should have held Obama at his word when he said one time that we weren't a Christian nation any longer. But having said that, I'm 58 years old, dear. And when I grew up, all these things were evident. You know, when I was a little kid, Israel belonged to Israel. The Palestinians, the PLO, was a terrorist organization. Yasser Arafat, right, was the number one terrorist in the world. And, you know, he was doing all the plane hijackings and all those things. It was all apparent. Mm-hmm. And now, as an adult, it's like nobody – did they all just forget? Because I know there's other people that are my age that has to still remember, how did we manage to shut all those people up?
I think we have, number one, we've worn people out, and people are way too busy, and we've become too complacent as the church. We're not willing to stand up and speak up. I mean, you know, as an organization, our mission is to educate Christians to stand with our Jewish brethren and defend the state of Israel. Because as God told Abraham, he would bless those nations that would bless him and curse those who curse them. If you look at what's happening to the United States of America, it is evident that the United States is under a curse. We have lost respect. We have lost our position in the world. We are no longer respected. We send our military to these far-reaching places. And this administration continues to go in and not set up democracies anymore. We set up Muslim Brotherhood governments. We fund Muslim Brotherhood terrorists, like in Syria. We allow our men to be slaughtered, just like what happened in Benghazi. And
right,
we don't send our military in to protect Americans anymore. It's because we the people have not expected more of our government. And the only way we are going to be able to restore this nation, if God willing, that he's going to allow us to do that, it's going to be because Christians are standing up. But even if this isn't the time of the restoration of the United States, if God has to bring us down and humble this country, it is still our responsibility to pursue justice. The scriptures are very clear. Justice, justice, thou must pursue. And we as a church have to unite with our Jewish brethren. We have to stand up and speak out against these atrocities, what's happening to Israel, and what's happening to Christians around the world. If you look at, you know, I had met with Senator Corker, who is one of our senators here in Tennessee. He's a ranking member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and I met with his staff, his foreign relations staff. Mm-hmm. And I asked him what the senator, the ranking member of the Foreign Relations Committee, who also represents the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, what was he doing to protect the Christians who are being slaughtered in the Middle East? And I said to them, I said, if you look at this administration, President Obama has gone from Tunisia to Libya to Egypt to Syria. And what is he doing? He's setting up Muslim Brotherhood governments. And in these same regions where Christians used to be able to worship freely without being persecuted, these Christians now are being slaughtered in the same country.
Absolutely. Every one of those Arab Spring nations that did that, the Christians are literally being slaughtered, beheaded, and so on and so forth. And you know what, Lori? I have ministers that come on here that have been over there, and they come back and they say they can't even get into the Christian church, that the pastors do not want to hear them. There needs to be education, but my goodness, we've got to somehow get the pastors to listen, to speak up. What do you think?
I don't know if it's going to happen with the pastors. I gave up on the pulpits a long time ago, Pastor Dan. You're a rarity. And it's unfortunate that we don't have more pastors like yourself who are trying to educate and inform their flocks. But for the most part, it's the people that are sitting in the pews that are responding to our call and are getting involved. And if we don't, in fact, when we had the issue with just the textbook, for example, here in Williamson County, I had over 600 pastors on my mailing list. We had an opportunity to meet with the superintendent of the schools here. Mm-hmm. And I sent out an email offering for these pastors to join us, to share our concerns, because, after all, these are kids in these youth programs, in these schools. And these pastors need to come in here and see what their children are being taught. And do you know how many pastors showed up for the meeting?
Sure to ask.
Over 600. One pastor. And it happened to be a female, an African-American pastor who came. Nobody else did. And it's a sad state of affairs when your pastors in your own local community don't have the time to go meet with one of the leaders of their children who are in their whose children are in the youth program in their churches, to go and talk with the leadership of the schools to make sure that our children are being taught an accurate perspective of history. It's pathetic to see what's happened to the leadership in the church. I'm very disappointed, but I will tell you that the people in the pews, there are many people like myself who are not going to sit back and allow this to happen. You know that scripture that talks about that in the last days even the elect would be deceived if it were possible. I know pastors that are endorsing candidates who are working against what we're doing in trying to raise awareness in our community. It's appalling to see what's happening. So are there pastors that will speak out? There are, but there's not enough of them because everybody wants to protect their income. Nobody wants to speak out because if they upset people, then people might leave and then there won't be enough tithes.
They'll get fired by the church, and they'll have to get. Yeah, that's because church would be a large portion of the church, and I'm not speaking against all churches, but if the shoe fits, wear it. But so much of the church has became a corporation, a business, and it's run like a business, not run like the house of God. And so that's, to me, is a large portion of the problem. Well, what I want to know, we've got about 3 minutes left. I want you to tell us a little bit more about your organization, what people can do, what's on your website, and do you have a mailing list, so on and so forth. Okay.
Absolutely. And thank you for that opportunity. Again, your listeners can go to our website at pjtn.org. And at the top right-hand corner of our homepage, if you're interested in getting updates and newsletters and staying informed and getting information about how you can mobilize your community, and for example, even looking at textbooks, if you are an interested parent who is interested, or even a student who might be listening to this program, who's interested in getting involved and have seen some of the information that I've talked about, please contact our office. We are working with communities, as I said, across the country who are interested in taking back control of their children's education. But our mission is to educate Christians to stand with Israel and our Jewish brethren against the rise of the new anti-Semitism. Because I don't know if you saw the research by the Anti-Defamation League a couple of weeks ago, but we've seen an almost anti-Semitic attacks have almost doubled since 2012. Anti-Semitism is on the rise. Yes. So we have anti-Semitism on the rise, and we also have Christian persecution on the rise.
Wait a minute. Those go hand in hand. If you have Jewish people being, picked on, whatever, then you're going to get the same thing with Christianity because we came from there. Because it's all of the devil. Okay. You got about 30
exactly
seconds
right.
to say goodbye.
That's exactly right. Well, Pastor Dan, thank you so much for having me on. And I just want to encourage your listeners, please pray. Please spend time in the Word of God and then speak up and defend our Jewish brethren in our communities. And if we will defend Israel, God will defend and protect us. And that is the most important thing that we have to remember, that we will stand before Almighty God one day, and we are going to have to give an account for what we did and we didn't do for the apple of his eye. So God bless you, Pastor Dan. Thank you again for allowing me to come back on the program. And again, I want to encourage your audience to go to pjtn.org and sign up to get our newsletters and action alerts.
All right. Well, thanks so much. Be very blessed. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Folks, again, you can find our if you go to our podcast or go to our website, whichever, I guess you'd find them both the same place, you will find a link to our website. Get involved. Get involved. And listen to the program that we did earlier today with the Holocaust survivor. It happened before. It can happen here again. And it's on the path to happening again. And not just with the Jews, but this time with the Christians. So you need to wake up and smell the roses. You need to wake up and look. And you need to be vocal and do something about it. If your pastor's not talking about it, well, you can talk about it. Anyway, pray for the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. It's the end of the month, and the bills aren't paid up, so we can go into next month clean. So please pray about it. But we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and through him and only through him is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Please always be a blessing to others. How can you say you're saved and represent Messiah if you're not a blessing to others? Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.